Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
It's time for the Steve and Kyle podcast with Kyle.
Well, I'm going to swap out the bucket seats for a bench seat, obviously, so okay. I can fit the whole family in
so
there.
So we're already adding money to this already investment to do
different
things.
Get a bench seat at the junkyard for $50.
Good. Well, you get to sit on only the best for your family, then.
Man, oh man.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Terrible, terrible family and financial planning from our very own Steve.
And Steve.
And this is coming from a guy, a couple of guys, who are making jokes about trying to sell some arm meat found from the crash site of P-Billy 3.
Right. Yeah, I mean, what is more of a national tragedy to you? No, I can't even say it.
Now, here they are, two guys who are living in style, Steve and Kyle.
You know what time of year it is.
Wind's whipping off the boardwalk.
No, not that one. The gales of November.
Oh my god, they're here. They sneak up on you. The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down to the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty.
That is how weight works.
Yeah, yeah.
That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin.
Poor saps.
Yeah, unnamed.
As the big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain well seasoned, concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. Later that night, when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling?
Some mill in Wisconsin headed towards Cleveland?
Yeah. Here we go.
The wind in the wires made a tattletale sound, and a wave broke over the railing.
Not just one.
And every man knew, as the captain did too, 'twas the witch of November come stealing. The dawn came late, and the breakfast had to wait, when the gales of November came slashing.
lazy.
When afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind.
Can you imagine?
God, that cook. I get more pissed at him every year.
That SOB. Everybody's drowning and he can't make bacon. Not a flapjack to be found, Steve. No.
When supper time came, the old cook came on deck, saying, fellas, it's too rough to feed ya.
You can walk all the way up there and
die with an empty belly, I guess.
At 7 p.m., a main hatchway caved in. He said, fellas, it's been good to know ya.
I don't know when the chef became a main character.
The captain wired in, he had water coming in, and the good ship and crew was in peril. Later that night, when his lights went out of sight, came the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
I mean,
hard to say it's a good ship. I mean, the crew might have been good, but good ship and crew, obviously the ship wasn't good enough.
Yeah, I mean, 28 of them might have been good, but Cook really brought the average down.
There were a few good souls on that good ship.
Yeah.
Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? The searchers all say they'd have made Whitefish Bay if they'd put 15 more miles behind her.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Revisionist history is the best.
They might have split up, or they might have capsized. They may have broke deep and took water.
Well, they took water.
Yeah, they definitely.
And all that remains is the faces and the names of the wives and the sons and the daughters.
No chance that cook was married.
A lot of, you know, maybe
selfish bastard.
A lot of real forward-facing acknowledgement. Yeah, they took water.
Rule Superior sings in the rooms of her ice water mansion. Old Michigan steams like a young man's dreams. The islands and bays are for sportsmen.
Doesn't rhyme.
And further below, Lake Ontario takes in what Lake Erie can send her.
Like a real geography lesson.
And the iron boats go, as the mariners all know, with the gales of November remembered.
Did we lose him this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Our opportunity to pay for a ticket to go listen to this song once and then leave.
Gone.
Lost forever.
Just like that boat. Is that it? I think we... Oh, no. There's another...
There's
at least one more verse. Yeah, the Detroit, the whole...
Passed away in May of this year, Steve.
Oh.
84 years young.
Remember, it's Detroit.
Detroit, of course. Well, you got to rhyme.
In a
musty old hall in Detroit, they pray in the Maritime Sailors' Cathedral. The church bell chimed till it rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Here we go.
Let's on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee.
Hey, what'd you do this week? Went to the Gitche-Gumee?
Superior, they said, never gives up her dead when the gales of November come early.
R.I.P. to most of those involved.
Well, 29, RIP to 29, 28 sailors, and Gordon Lightfoot.
Of course, yeah.
Everybody was all up in arms because they rang the bell after he passed instead of 29 times, 30 times.
Oh.
And I believe I tweeted at that time, it still should have only been 29. Really would like just a cease and desist, something we can frame, hang on our wall from that cook's family. That says, you two need to stop talking about our dead grandfather.
Yeah. Whose nickname, as we've talked about, was no doubt Cookie.
It's time to play one of our funner games.
Mm.
In light of the tragic news of the passing of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
The tragic news 80 years ago? 70?
No, it was 48 years ago.
48 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
1975.
Oh, okay.
What do you think Gordon Lightfoot was worth? when he punted the old 5-gallon.
Oh, boy, back in May. Okay, so he...
So we've got, I mean, listen, he had a couple songs. Mm-hmm. I would argue that Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald was his biggest.
The, yeah, the biggest one.
But he also had, what was it, Sundown, I believe.
Sundown.
Mm-hmm. Let me look at Sundown, If You Could Read My Mind, Early Sundown. Morning Rain, Carefree Highway. So had, really two songs.
He had a huge discography, though, from what I remember.
Right. Right. And again, just passed away this May. 84 years young.
Well, I mean, he was still pretty actively touring.
Which is insane to say.
Which always leads me to believe that...
Hard up.
Yeah, money was a little tough to come by, unless he's one of those people that just absolutely loved it. I'm going to say he is worth time of death.
He was married, by the way, 3 times. Just giving you a little bit of credence to... Okay. You know, did he lose a little bit of coin along the way? Just wanted you to be aware of his personal life.
I'm going to say $3 million.
Okay.
He had a $3 million net worth.
I'll say this. This number shocked me.
Okay.
So.
What would you have said?
Boy, honestly, I would have put him as a millionaire, but I would think three would is a fair number. Just because a couple songs in the 70s, right? How long is that lifespan of people? Not even people, but how does that carry 50 years later financially, right?
Yeah.
I would have, so I think low millions would have been a fair guess. His net worth at time of death is reported to be $40 million.
Jesus. Now,
isn't that insane?
There's a good chance that we did this exact same deep dive last year, and I was equally as surprised.
Well, he wasn't dead last year.
That's a good point.
So
but I'm sure that we would have...
We probably talked about...
talked about how much he's worth. Yeah, you don't have to be dead to have a net worth. Wow.
$40 million to his family.
And the dude was, what, 80-some years
84
old?
84 years old.
And still touring, doing small venues.
Yeah, so it's not like AC/DC or, you know, Eagles or something where they could sell out stadiums and arenas.
Yeah, if they wanted to, they could go to... New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, like all of the big spots, London, Paris, and not worry about the, you know, no offense, but like the Kalamazoo State Theater or something that holds, you know, 1,200 people or 1,500 people. That is mind-blowing.
He was doing performance halls in, like you said, smaller venues, state theaters on university campuses that, you know, everybody kind of knows what those look like. Unbelievable. You're worth, let's say he's in his 70s and he's worth $30 million, $20 million. What's still driving you those last 10 years of your life to be like, well, those 1,800 people in Saginaw are, you know, they're going to want to hear the Wreck of the Yeti. It's time to get out there.
Yeah.
Oh, obviously his family hated him. Would have stopped him decades ago, right?
RIP to the 29. Again. 28 on the boat, and Gordon Lightfoot.
And the one who wrote a song about it years later. You know, I don't know if we ever talked about that. There were legal settlements after the wreck, so maybe the Cooks, not with Gordon, but with family of the crew and with the company, maybe the Cooks company got, or the Cooks family got a little cheddar on the back end.
I don't know. Do you think he probably wasn't employed by the same people as the... the sailors. Do you think he's like an
independent contractor?
He's like an Aramark employee.
Yeah. So it was at the when this thing went down, $24 million it was worth between the ship and the 26,000 tons
of iron ore.
Because I believe years ago you and I speculated about how much it would cost us to get up there and just go start
digging it up,
scraping some of that into cups. Not for memorabilia, but literally to sell the ore.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you gotta make that money back somehow.
Well, let's see how much. Where are we at now?
All right. Well, what's 26,000 tons? So what's that? 52,000 pounds of iron ore.
So let's see if we're looking at iron ore right now. It's listed as 125.50, but I'm trying to figure out how much.
Is that a pound
per ton?
Per ton.
That's still a good turnaround. I mean, it's a lot of work, but if we're at, you know, let's say price shuffles a little bit. Let's say we can only get 120, or just to be safe, because we're obviously going to have water scooped in there with it, as well as, you know, some bone fragment. Let's call it 100.
We'll have to dry it out a bit. Yeah, it may not be pure
Yeah.
Pure ore.
It's still $260,000.
It just doesn't seem like it's worth it. I mean, we'd have to rent a boat.
No, that's true. And if I know UP Chris, who would inevitably guide us on this endeavor, it would be in like his crappy fishing boat where the motor only turns us one direction. So we just slowly have to go out into Lake Superior in circles.
Like those old school remote control cars where it would only go forward and left.
Oh, sorry, the rudder's a little bit messy, but we'll get there. We spend 3 nights sleeping in a fishing boat that's only doing circles.
All right, well, yeah, so there's never been an expedition to...
No, I believe there is. There's, I mean, if you go on YouTube, there's video of people who have gone down there, and because the water is so cold up there that you can see the, like, the bodies are still somewhat preserved. Because it's so cold and so deep.
Why wouldn't they pluck them out?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that those weirdo fishermen think and boaters think. They're like, well, bury me where I lay type of thing. Okay, I'd rather be, you know, buried in the ground. Whereas there's not like
a
little
buried.
There's like a little fish, and, you know, nipping at my eyball.
Yeah, I don't want to be putting.
You going toasty?
Yeah, I think yeah.
And tell them to turn it up to five, or
stick me in the oven. And
what's your toaster setting now that we're on the topic?
Are we talking 1 to 5?
I would assume that most toasters I think are probably 1 to 5, right? What's your toaster setting?
3.5 to 4.
A 3.5 to 4.
Yeah.
I'm getting guff because I like my steak well done.
I like it a little. I like because that's not going to burn it, but it's going to give me a nice golden.
I feel like a 4 is going to make it black. No. Not all black, but enough black that it's not going to be a tasty chew once you get there.
Do you think this is our most insensitive transition in 8 years? I mean... I don't know. I'm so close to it. It's hard for me to make that determination.
So what you're saying is, in memory of your toast favorite, you'd like to be set at a 3.5 to 4 when they toss you in.
Yeah. Can we throw this up on the poll? What's your toast setting?
What's your toast setting?
And then in parentheses, put 1 to 5.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Right. As many options as I can.
Sure.
And, you know, take that how you want it. You know, toast setting for when you finally punt the 5-galloner.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you're just having a piece of white bread in the morning.
Yeah.
Whichever you prefer.
Yep.
Well, anyway,
now that the yearly tribute is out of the way.
Yeah, our condolences. And perfect time to mention that the merch store has been...
Go ahead. Keep doing it.
Has been overhauled. And if you go there right now, you will find 2 lovely designs commemorating the loss of those souls and the cook on the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald at stephenkyle.com/merch. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's the perfect time to do that right now is if you're looking to spread... some solstice cheer.
Yeah, of course.
We kicked it off last week, Steve, and we're gonna harp on it for a few weeks just to make sure everybody hears it and recognizes that this is the time to join up. It's the 8th annual Steve and Kyle podcast, yes. Cloak and Dagger, non-denominational winter solstice gift exchange.
Hey, give us all the details.
If you want to join our... better effort at what the losers call Secret Santa, and you'd like to support non-denominational causes with our friend, Seasonal and Solstice Sammy.
Yes.
Wearing a nice white turtleneck, handing out hot chocolate to all the kiddos. Please send us a message right now at Steve and Kyle, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. In general, what's going to happen? You're going to send us your name and your address. Those are the only 2 items we need. Anything else? Keep it to yourself. I don't want to hear it. I don't know why I'm aggressive.
Because that's kind of how you are.
You're going to buy a gift for an unknown recipient.
You're still being aggressive. You're going to buy a gift.
And if you don't, you're drinking pond scum. We will send you a confirmation. Once you send us your name and address, we'll send you a confirmation that we've received that. Your name's going to go on a list. Sometime around the 1st of December, we're going to send you the name of your recipient. They are secret to... Your name is secret to them. They do not know who's going to be sending them a gift. It is up to you if you'd like to keep it anonymous or if you'd like to sign it as your name. That's all up to you. That neither here nor there. It doesn't matter. It can be a gift from the merch shop. It can be something you think is funny. We see a lot of people every year, which is my favorite, sending local...
trinkets or...
Yeah, food and trinkets from their local area that they listen to someone else across the country, mm-hmm. Which I think is always cool to spread the wealth, spread the idea of where this podcast is heard. And $5, $10, $20, send it directly to them. We shouldn't need to be involved. You can reach out to us if you have any questions, or if you want to let us know that you have sent that gift, that's always appreciated as well. Mm-hmm. So we can kind of make sure everybody gets one out. Every year, issues happen. It's not a big deal. Just let us know if something happens that you can't get the gift out or you didn't get your gift. We'll reach out to either your gift giver or the gift recipient to make sure everything is in order. Again, at Steve and Kyle, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram for the Winter Solstice Gift Exchange. I love putting this together. I love seeing it come together when the pictures flow in.
Are you and I taking part in this again this year?
The staff every year takes part.
I have a note that's been on my phone for, I bet, 9 months.
Have you? I've had one for two or three months on my phone that I knew that I knew what I was going to get the member of the staff here. Yeah. You and I, we kind of draw in private, the staff. Sure. We don't need to make that on air.
It's not about us.
No, it's
just about all the great that we do for the community.
Right, we're just the best people to do it. And we don't, to be quite honest with you, Fernando in accounting does not need a microphone.
Yeah, no.
When we select gift recipients. So, again, please partake. I want to make this one the biggest ever. I love seeing those come in on social media and seeing what everybody got. So please message us now.
Yeah, definitely. It's my favorite time of the year. Love seeing those posts saying, look, I got a deck of cards and a bag of pirate's booty.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to say like a bag of popcorn from the middle of, from the middle of Illinois.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like I never heard of Naperville, but I'm really glad I got these items from there. So
exactly.
I meant to ask. I didn't look on the way in, Steve. I wonder if you're taking care of the... issue we talked about last week
outside, the pumpkin sitch,
the old carved jack-o'-lantern, which is still out there the first week in November, which, as everybody knows, is officially Christmas season.
Sure. Do we have updates on those polls yet from last week or
not quite? No. Just wanted to reach it. Yeah, it's okay. Fine.
Maybe get to them next week. They're still out there. Looking a little worse for wear, probably about time. I think one of them has the telltale signs of a hungry squirrel. They just kind of eat the side of them or scratch away at it.
Yeah, they start to collapse.
They start to shrink a little bit.
Yeah, and then when you inevitably do pick it up.
I got to ask you something. By the way, apologies for interrupting.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a video that I should have told you about weeks ago because it's that important.
Sure.
There's somebody carving a pumpkin. I've never seen them carve the pumpkin like this before.
Okay.
Now, traditional, you take the pumpkin, you set it on the table. What do? You dig that knife into the top, you cut around the stem.
I think I know what you're going to ask.
Pluck it out. It's got all the crap on it. You
shear it off the top?
Shear it off the top. You carve out the middle. Then you put your little candle in there, a little twinkly light, whatever you want. I saw a woman take that pumpkin, flip it over, cut the bottom out of it, carved it upside down. Which seems like it might be a little difficult with the stem because you can't really get it to just sit there. But,
oh, yeah. I didn't thought of that.
Yeah. Maybe you have to get a table with a hole cut in it so you can put the stem through.
So now we're buying new furniture so we can one day a year for 1 hour carve pumpkins. I had seen this and Katie...
hold on. The table that we have out on our deck, like the outdoor furniture, it's got the little hole in the middle for the umbrella. That would be perfect. It could be a... summertime outdoor eating / pumpkin carving table.
Okay, so it's now a seasonal.
Yeah,
dual seasonal because you've got this thing out in the summer,
mm-hmm.
and then you're inevitably answering every mm-hmm. question that comes to you with, "Hey, why is there the hole in the middle of this table?" Well, I'm glad you asked.
funny you should ponder that
before I regale you with the story, Vern. You need another hot dog?
Because I'll tell you what, 3 months from now. This is going to be pretty damn useful. Okay, so what are your thoughts on the upside down pumpkin carving? Because then you can just put the candle like
on the bottom and put the
pumpkin right over top of it. It kind of eliminates that need of like lighting the candle and then having to drop it in and hope that it doesn't tip over. Hope you don't burn yourself.
So Katie and I had actually discussed we were going to do that this year, and then day of we had decided.
I can't believe you didn't tell me that you've been thinking about this for weeks now.
Weeks. I mean, because this is a big thing, Right? This is pumpkin carving from childhood on.
I mean...
And you're telling me you're just going to switch something as magical as that first blade's drive into the top?
It's reinventing the wheel.
Again, once one day a year used wheel, it's being reinvented.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I keep it stored.
I'll post that on the poll. Can you reinvent the one day a year used wheel?
Yeah, you're gonna have to like hyphenate some of that.
Of course. So we had talked about this, and then day of came.
Of course, by the way, of course you did. Of course, you and your wife had extensive discussions about how you're gonna carve a pumpkin because you're so into Halloween.
Listen, you want to be prepared, you know. But, you know, this will kind of upset the apple cart for you, is the reason we didn't is because we didn't have a firm plan on when we were going to carve. So it was a morning where we had something to do that afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, why don't we just do it now? So it was like 9 a.m. and we were kind of running around grabbing what we tried this year was cut up trash bags and tape them over the countertop to catch all the innards and stuff.
Yep.
So it was like we were... bang, bang, bang with no plan doing it.
So you don't want to go into it.
I didn't want to try something. I didn't want to try the reinvented wheel.
I get that. Yeah, you don't want to try something new at the, you know,
but I gotta,
just on a whim.
I got to tell you, now that you mentioned the idea of carving it, I'm glad I didn't, because I guarantee you, had I done this upside down idea that TikTok invented, obviously, I think I would have ended up coming in here complaining up a storm. Because of the issue carving it.
Not a chance. That is not something.
Not carving it, emptying it. Right? The emptying is the hard part.
All right.
Because the carving, you're going to put it back upright anyway.
Sure.
To carve it. But you're right. The scooping and the digging and the...
Well, that's where the table comes in. The table with the hole in the middle that's used for an umbrella / pumpkin carving.
Right. So now we're at one pumpkin per time. Because, you know, like if you got a family of two or three, obviously you're not wedging three stems in the center and all, you know.
I mean, there's always the option for multiple tables.
So now we're storing these dual seasonal tables. I wouldn't even call them dual seasonal. It's still one season mixed with one day of another season.
No, that's a season. That's two. Dual season. You got it right.
I think next year, though. I think
you're doing it?
I think so. And I think I'd like you to do that as well.
Okay.
I'd like to compare the experiences. It's such a new trend, but it's like the people who are like, oh, no, you're supposed to eat the banana from the other side.
It's funny you mention that. My wife was peeling a banana last night, and she popped her head out of the kitchen. She said, hey, did you ever see that, like, we're peeling bananas wrong?
Which is weird, right?
Because monkeys do it the other way. And I was like, yeah, I've read that before. She's like, I just did it. It's right. It's so
much easier. How do you get it going on the other end?
I think you just do a little boop.
But it's not that hard ending, right? That is
no. If anything, the other end that we normally peel from is hard. I always feel like I'm going to squish the banana when.
Oh, you are. Yeah, and if you get one of those bananas where that it's not firm enough at the top, and you're trying to either twist it or pull it, you're getting a real compacted banana.
The twist?
I usually go with the twist. Well, if it doesn't peel initially, right?
My mind is blown. I didn't know that these. Like, these options exist?
Is there any other, I'd like to maybe collect those from our audience.
Hmm. The strange ways that you,
life
prepare food or...
Yeah, yeah. Or like the life, I've never, you know, told anybody, but, you know, if you just don't cook the pasta, it's just as good. Sometimes, whatever, right? Like, right. Some other shortening hack that people are like, yeah, I've been doing this forever. One, it tastes either just as good or better.
Right, something that's going to make us go... Like, what?
What do you mean you eat the pit of the avocado?
What?
You're telling me tomatoes are delicious on my hot dog?
Can't get on board with that one.
That's where we draw the line. I'll make a post on social media, and please, if you have any of those, I'd love to collect a few of those, and maybe you and I could experiment a little bit here on the podcast and be like, hey, Annette, we need those hot dogs with tomatoes now. You know? So we'll have to make sure Annette's free too, because sure. she'll be having to, you know, do some food prep yeah. upstairs.
Uh-huh.
So then if you just want to lock the kids up or in that pole barn or whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Just go ahead. Go out and play. Dada will be right out.
Please submit those, though. Please.
This week at Macy's, get an extra 20% off with your coupon or Macy's card. That's on top of already great deals, like 25 to 60% off cold weather gear for the whole family, 30 to 60% off select bedding and bath, plus 30% off select small appliances. And Star Rewards members earn on every purchase, except gift cards, services, and fees at Macy's, Macy's Backstage, and Market by Macy's. More at Macy's.com/Star Rewards. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
All right, so Kyle, we ended last week's episode with you gave a little tease, and I forget exactly how you teased it, but was there some kind of incident at drop-off?
Oh, my God.
School drop-off?
I can't believe we've gone this far.
Okay. I have some questions.
Mm-hmm.
Was there an incident?
I wouldn't go as far to characterize it as an incident.
Was there awkwardness?
Not really, because the parties involved didn't know that what happened was uncomfortable.
Did anyone else witness it and kind of give you a knowing glance of
no,
like...
and thank goodness.
Okay.
This was a situation with me and my son. Now, most mornings I'll do the drop-off, which
yeah.
at this age, it's not like elementary school or junior high where you just... you know, plant the heel of your boot into their back and say, get out of the car.
No, you're still taking them in.
You have to park. You go up. There's color designations for each class on the sidewalk out front.
Mm-hmm.
You make sure they're in their line. Acknowledge their teacher that they're there type of thing so that, hey, don't lose my kid. I've acknowledged he's here. Whatever.
Lose the other ones.
So this happened on Halloween, Steve, and I can't believe I've gone this far without telling you about it.
Yeah.
Reed, as most schools have become in the last 20 years, you can dress up for Halloween, but you cannot bring anything in term that, you know, you could maybe wear a mask if you're younger, but no fake gun, sword, knife, sticks, whatever. Doesn't matter. So Reed, this year, for some reason, wanted to be a Ghostbuster. And all he had was then the brown Ghostbuster jumpsuit with the Ghostbuster logo and the name tag.
So he can't even bring
the proton gun whatever.
Yeah.
Nope, couldn't bring it.
Okay.
The proton pack he probably could have brought, but the gun, it's the little, which was a foam.
Yeah.
But all still, right. I wasn't going to chance it.
Yeah, understand.
No big deal.
No big deal at all.
So I get out of the car and we're on time, which... it all varies. And I recognize the kid in front. I recognize the line because I recognize the kid at the back of the line that we're going to go walk up behind.
Okay.
And I knew his name. So I walk up line. I get down on Reed's level, tug his hat over his ears and tell him the same stuff I tell him every morning. Make sure you make good choices today. Let's have fun and yada, yada. I'll see you this afternoon at the Halloween parade. And the kid in front turns around and looks at me or looks at Reed and says hi and looks at me and goes, "What is he?" And I said, "Oh, Reed wanted to be a Ghostbuster this year, but he had to leave his proton pack at home."
Mm-hmm.
And dead in the face, eye contact, right? And we're maybe 2.5 feet apart at this point, me and this other kid. Looks me in the eye. "What the f***?"
Again, this is a kindergartner. So Trends, 5 years old.
4 or 5. Drops the bomb.
Okay.
The bomb.
That's the one.
So all I see out of, not even the corner of my eye, because it's still kind of in the peripheral, is Reed, almost like a sketch you see on a, you know, one of those comedy shows. His mouth goes from normal to jaw drop and... eyes wide open, uh-huh. and jerks his head to look at me and make eye contact.
Because, yeah, because Reed knows that that's a naughty word. That's a bad word.
Right. Obviously, he's heard it. I'm not a saint. I mean, it's not like I'm sitting here telling it, you know, I don't tell him, hey, go F off right. or whatever. But words get heard throughout 5 years of life that, sure. you know, it happens. But he's well aware that it's a naughty word.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
So he looks at me like that, and I don't know what to do. It is not my place to admonish anybody yeah. that isn't my kid.
That's a tough spot to be in.
And I am a very firm believer, I've made that clear, of mind your own business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So all I do while still kind of looking at Reed, and I think I might have been like helping him get a glove on because Halloween was the middle of January weather around here. So I'm putting a glove on his hand and I say something like, oh, that's not very nice to say. What are you this morning? To move along
yeah.
literally anything. And that was it.
Okay.
I'm still aghast at how that happened. That it happened so to you, my face.
So when you asked him what he was, did he say like, I'm a piece of shit? No?
I'm a fucking ninja, you idiot! No, surprisingly. No.
Okay.
So... It's loud, right? There's like six or eight classrooms that all line up right next to each other.
Okay. So again, there were no adults like
not within
earshot. So nobody heard this.
And I already know I know who his mom is that who does the drop off. I see her like when she drops him off and then leaves.
Yeah. She seemed kind of
stunning. She was already gone. Eh, well, I mean, different opinion now. Good news. They're moving down my street in 2 weeks.
Moving onto your street? Yes. Okay. So.
Can't wait for this to blossom.
Boy, this is going to be quite a friendship.
So there's not a lot of, it's very loud. So mm-hmm. it's not in a very personal setting. So I'm guessing someone else heard it, kid-wise, whatever. But even as I'm going through the rest of my morning and day, I'm still kind of in the back of my head thinking, maybe he didn't say it.
I mean... If it was as clear as you just
right.
described it. So,
but it's such a...
So you know that he said it, but you're kind of in denial that he said it.
I guess, like, right?
Maybe I heard it wrong. But no, I mean, like, what the F?
Yeah, but I think you kind of do some rationalization. Like, well, he's five. So maybe it was like, what's that truck? And he was pointing when I blinked and then stopped pointing when my eyelid opened again. Right. I don't know.
Yeah, you're trying to give benefit of the doubt. You're yes. trying to rationalize in your head that, of course, a five-year-old isn't going to say this terrible, terrible thing.
To my face. Not to me or about me,
yeah.
but like so casually that it was just part of his nomenclature that it was fine.
Also, were you a little surprised that he doesn't know what a Ghostbuster is? I mean, yeah, I understand he's five, but...
So here's my theory.
Okay.
I feel like he just... either heard that word that morning, night before, mm-hmm. whatever, and he was just waiting for a chance to unleash it.
Okay, so no matter what you had said, he was going to
right.
he was going to fire back with that.
I could have dropped a like, hey, what is he? Oh, he's your mom, right? And he would. I think that was coming back at me,
right.
No matter what,
he had that thing locked and loaded, pointed right at
yes.
you. Like, just speak, old man.
And again,
I'm going to fire.
I shouldn't have been questioning it even because he said it. Mm-hmm. Eye contact 2 feet away from my face.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to justify or maybe understand that it didn't happen. So we get home that afternoon. My mother-in-law comes over after their little, kid Halloween parade they do through the gym. Parents can watch whatever. Yeah. My mother-in-law is there and we're sitting in the living room and I forget what we're talking about. Oh, we're telling her that like, oh yeah, there's a family from Reed's class moving in down the road mm-hmm. soon. And And I said, what's that kid's name? And he says the kid's name. And I said, oh, yeah. Because now I'm trying to get some verification.
Yeah.
I said, oh, yeah. Didn't he say something naughty this morning?
Oh, no.
And Reed, in the middle of the living room, sitting like on my mother-in-law's lap, goes, yeah, he said, what the f***?
All right. Well,
It's been verified.
I mean,
no more questions need to be asked because it happened, obviously, right? I'm
yeah, you kind of asked for that last one.
Right, right. And I, whatever. Not like I was hoping he would, you know, drop it, but I was, yeah, he did say something naughty and then maybe kind of look to see, are we going to say it's okay to say it? Whatever. Yeah. But yeah, no, confirmation from my son, you know, who's also not, it's not like he's an angel or a mm-hmm. good kid most of the time, for crying out loud, he's five. And confirmation that was in fact said.
Okay.
So I think what I'm saying is I don't think school's good just overall. So
wow. Taking a hard stance on education. That's one way to do it, I guess.
If you'd like to pull your kids out of school, you have my full blessing.
Okay.
Right. 'Cause obviously this is, you know, rampant.
This is a school issue. This is not a,
man,
it's not an issue of the parents or whoever the guardians are.
Right. Well, and I don't like being that guy either, right? Because listen, I mean, I think you would agree. Every parent would agree. Nobody is a perfect parent.
No.
100% of the time. And I would argue, at least me with, you know, self-loathing, whatever you want to call it, I'd say, man, I was a bad parent this time, that time, whatever yeah. parts. I feel bad. I wish I could redo that. Those happen.
Yeah.
I get it. Right. But for that part to not come directly from me, be like, oh man, so all the crap that I've given, yet he learns that elsewhere and brings that home.
Yeah,
it's what you have Evelyn now doing. Is it 5 days a week or 3 days a week?
No, she's doing three mornings a week.
What's she been bringing home?
Nothing.
Not dropping F-bombs when she walks in the door.
No F-bombs.
Booting the dogs or anything.
No, she'll tell us who all the troublemakers in her in her class are. I think she's going to be a narc. She's going to tell.
That's not a good look, right?
No, snitches get stitches.
Yeah, and you're going to want to nip that in the bud.
She is going to snitch so badly.
Oh man,
Nicky. On the other hand, granted, he's only, you know, not even a year and a half. He's going to be class clown.
Oh yeah.
Just a complete pain in the ass. Complete pain in the ass.
That's beautiful. You know,
it's beautiful.
The two sides.
Yeah.
Right. It's worked out so well for her. You know, you had the first kid and she's just super quiet and you're like, hey, is she actually awake or alive? You know, not talking a lot. Not
so well behaved.
And you're like, you know what?
Wants to follow the rules and just be a good kid.
So you and another talking, hey, I bet a second one would be easier than just one. Because they're probably both going to keep, at that point, Evelyn's going to keep him in check. He's going to say, Evelyn, that's not nice. Mm-hmm. And they're just going to be, you know, lead the UN in 25 years. Yeah.
No, and everybody says it. Everyone who has more than one child, they say, like, all right, first, whatever your first one was, just wait, because the second one's going to be the opposite. So if you had a good kid, you're going to have a nightmare. Vice versa.
Mm.
So what would, how would you classify Reed?
Nightmare.
Then? Nightmare.
Yeah.
Okay. So you
love him to death. And I'm not saying he's a bad kid. We are, you know, as kids grow up, they deal with different things. And right now, emotional outbursts and stuff are top of the list for
what
him.
What about early on as a baby?
You know, not much change. Nightmare.
Okay. So
I shouldn't say that, but you can get what I'm saying.
You can rest assured then, based on science, that if you have a second child, they're going to be just a walk in the meadow.
Huh. Science, you say?
Yeah. You know, all those other people that say, oh, just wait till the second one.
Yeah, I have to tell you.
Speaking as a father.
Oh, dad of two.
As a, I'm a dot, of course. I'm a dad of two. Yeah. Science. According to science, that second one. Gonna be no problem. No problem at all.
You know, I'll take it under advisement.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will say these last 3 to 6 months have really, really, really pushed me.
Okay.
To one kid.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I've.
But you know, if we've got, what if the next one's the duplicate of Evelyn, right?
What if the next one is worse?
I mean, I could always burn the house down, claim insurance, and move to Morocco.
Is it that easy?
Yeah, I think so, right? You just buy a plane ticket.
Yeah. And just go.
And just go. Right. But I buy the plane ticket. I'm Jim, you know, Tompkins. Right. So they'll never know.
No.
Just leave like two fingernails in the fire.
Uh huh.
Well, we found the DNA. He must have burned up in here, bones and all.
Old Mr. Tompkins. God rest his soul.
Perfect. Before we get out, very briefly, I wanted to ask your plans for, you know, the holiday extravaganza.
Ah, yes.
Have you...
Tier one holiday?
Have you just started to deduce your planning for the holiday, the solstice lights, the decor?
Oh, see, I was thinking...
Oh, you were talking tier three Thanksgiving?
I'm thinking tier one Thanksgiving, 1A.
Food holiday, tier three automatically.
We will be packing up the family, heading to Indianapolis.
Oh, so okay. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
This is a little further south than... Different than normal from the get-together for Thanksgiving, is it not?
Yeah, exactly.
A further drive for you?
You know something? On the way, we're thinking of stopping once again.
I was just
going to
ask.
Indiana to go to that park because, man, is it a nice park.
So are you going to have to tell the monkeys on the sidekick, like, hey, I'm sorry. I got to get out of here an hour early. We've got a 10-mile jaunt off the highway.
We've got to go to the park.
To get to Central Park, south entrance only, in Carmel, Indiana.
I believe it's the west entrance.
Sorry, west entrance. It matters. So I've got to get out of here before it gets too packed, because if all the locals take up the picnic tables, we're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're heading down.
Okay.
Going to stop, probably stop at the park for a little bit, you know, get our play on, get our slide on.
God, you're going to be more excited than the kids. So like, no, Dad, let's just get there. I want to see my family or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, we're sliding down the loop-de-loop slide. And swinging, and you're going to love it.
Yeah. So we're leaving Thanksgiving morning, driving down there. We're going to have Thanksgiving dinner with a bunch of the family. Annette's mom's side of the family, so cousins and aunts and uncles and everything. Doing the same thing that we've done in the past, where everyone's staying at the same hotel. We're having a big catered thing.
Yeah,
at the hotel.
You've done this in Southern Michigan and Ohio, I believe, right?
In the past? We did it in... Man, I can't even remember at this point. We've done it in Michigan, I think, twice. There was maybe in Illinois. Her family is basically...
spread like out that area.
West Michigan, also Detroit, Chicago... Indianapolis, there's a bunch there. Yeah, it's kind of all around. That's right. They did Ohio last year. They did Cleveland last year, but we ended up canceling last minute because everyone was sick.
Oh, okay. I guess I'd forgot.
Yeah.
Why would I care? Mm-hmm. I remember last year I asked you a question after Thanksgiving because you said for years now you have been tasked with the mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And I said, I would like to see you next year work up that ladder.
Step
right?
up a bit.
In terms of responsibility and...
So instead of side, I'm an entree man now?
I mean, I guess with enough family coming, you know, everybody's got a spot. Mm-hmm. I just ask you, do you really want to be the mashed potato guy forever? You know?
Well, I mean, ever since we... this will be the first year that... Thanksgiving for Annette's family has always been a big thing. Mm-hmm. And all of the people that are the generation of her parents and aunts and uncles, they've been the ones who plan the whole thing.
Okay.
But this is the first year that our generation has taken over the planning.
Okay. So you guys booted the oldies.
We did. We said,
hey, geriatric, get in the home.
Yeah.
We'll bring you a plate on, you know, the following Sunday.
Nobody likes the fruitcake you bring every year.
Oh, cool.
So we've decided that it's now our generation's responsibility to do all the planning. And with that comes the ease of no one cooking a damn thing. And we're just doing catering. So the people.
You guys are all kind of. Are you guys all pitching in?
Yeah. So what we're doing is the Annette's cousin who lives in Indy with her husband.
Mm-hmm.
They took the ball this year and they were like, all right, we're going to do all the planning. So they scouted out. They got a hotel. They got a group rate. They figured out there are a couple of activities going on in the area. There's like a holiday lights thing that you can drive through. There's a big thing going on at the Children's Museum. And they figured out they got a caterer. They told the caterer how many people are going to be there. So we're each just pitching in, you know, X amount of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be so nice and just relaxing.
Right.
Because if you're, you know, if you're driving from 5 hours away, staying in a hotel, what am I going to make mashed potatoes in like the hotel room? No.
Right. Either that or you make them all, you bring them already done and then warm them up. Yeah, and then nobody wants that.
Never
nobody wants
never that. Tastes the same.
So Thanksgiving morning, you're packing up the crew.
Yeah.
Heading, you know, 4.5, make it 5.5 once you take in the hour for the Kermel, Indiana playground on a national holiday.
I'm going to, you know something, I might do a Facebook Live from there.
I think you should. From our account.
On the Stephen Kyle account.
Yeah, please, if your family hates you and you're not with them on Thanksgiving, please enjoy Steve on a swing at a park in the middle of Indiana.
Yeah, if you're in the area of Kermel, Indiana, I'd love to host you for I'll show you all around the park.
All the entrances. Also all the exits.
Uh-huh.
And all the amenities that go along with it. Yeah. Well, you guys are going to enjoy that splash pad that was advertised in the pictures I saw. It's going to be lovely. I'm sure Evelyn and the Boolin Wall are going to appreciate it endlessly.
Yeah, especially. They're going to love a splash pad in late November in Indiana.
I can't wait to hear how this thing goes in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's going
to
be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
On the way out, yeah, I guess we need to mention again, please enter your name and address early, often, for the Steve and Kyle podcast, Cloak and Dagger, non-denominational, Winter Solstice Gift Exchange, our 8th annual. This is getting crazy how we actually remember to do this every year.
Yeah.
Please send us your name and address on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can DM us. Please don't make it a post because then I'll forget to write it down when I think about it later, and I don't want you to get lost in the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
A DM, a personal message, whatever it may be, at Steve and Kyle, your name and address. We're just looking for you to buy a gift. $5, $10, $20 to send to an unnamed, as of now, recipient who will not know who is sending them that gift for the solstice season.
Yeah.
And you'll get that name, I think we said, probably around the first of the month. Usually we get a little bit antsy and might be a few days before.
Yeah.
We'll lock that in there. Again, Tuesday, November 28th. You need your name and address in before then if you want to participate.
Yeah, and there's nothing to say that you can't have a gift picked out, ordered, and ready to roll. So when we send you that address, boom, you put the address on there, drop it in the mail the next day. You don't have to wait until then. You don't have to wait until you know who your recipient is to get a gift ready to roll. So, yeah, that would be great. At Steve and Kyle again, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I think that's it, right? We got anything else?
That's it.
Talk to you next week. See ya.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.